Today's scripture comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 12 to 18, and we'll be reading the version from the Message, I believe. With that kind of hope to excite us, nothing holds us back. Unlike Moses, we have nothing to hide. Everything is out in the open with us. He wore a veil so that the children of Israel wouldn't notice that the glory was fading away, and they didn't notice. They didn't notice it then, and they don't notice it now. Don't notice that there's nothing left behind that veil. Even today, when the proclamations of that old bankrupt government are read out, they can't see through it. Only Christ can get rid of the veil, so they can see for themselves that there's nothing there. Whenever, though, they turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it. All of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, and our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him.
Every week when we come into this place, we do something at the beginning of the service that's a little subtle, but it's important. We light this candle. We take a moment to kind of center ourselves. We prepare our hearts for worship, which is just a quiet moment, a little quiet music. Hopefully we take a breath. We kind of put everything else aside for a little while. And we light this candle. And that's an ancient practice. It goes back to the very beginning of the church and even into our Jewish roots. And the practice of lighting a candle in the church reminds us that the Holy Spirit of God is here with us. It's a visual symbol to remind us of the Holy Spirit, that this is not just a ritual or a tradition or a practice of some kind. This is being in the presence of God. Of God's very spirit being with us. Now, you don't have to understand how that works for it to work. We don't have to get it. We don't have to understand everything for it to actually be true. And so we remind ourselves of this truth by lighting a candle and being aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. This is something that happened in a very dramatic way, as we read in the Gospel of Luke. As the disciples, Peter, James, and John, were with Jesus one day, and Jesus was transfigured into his glorious presence. Jesus is the presence of God in human form. But in this moment, he sort of shed the humanness for a moment and radiated the presence of God. And Moses and Elijah were with him. Now, Moses and Elijah have been dead in this world for generations, and yet they were alive in the presence of God. And as Jesus was preparing to go to the cross to pay price for our sin, before his resurrection, at this critical moment in history, Elijah and Moses were with Jesus in this glorious moment. And the voice of God the Father comes and says, "This is my Son." It's an incredible moment that Paul kind of picks up on. That and another incredible moment where Moses climbed Mount Sinai to receive the commandments of God. And in the presence of God, Moses began to shine. His face began to glow. He even put a veil over his face because it was shining so much. And Paul talks about this. He says, well, it's time to get rid of the veil. It's time to see the actual glory of God within God's people. To have God's people radiating the glory of God himself, even transfigured as Christ was. But he makes a distinction here. In 2 Corinthians, I hope you noticed, he said that we are transfigured, but gradually. We are being moved gradually into that place where we shine the very glory of God. That we are not just a people that keeps a set of rules. We are not a people that goes through a set of rituals or adheres to a certain belief system. Now, we have all of those things. We hope that people will be people of character. We do have rituals and practices that we have that are traditional with us because they move us in our spirit towards the presence of God. They remind us of that presence of God. But if we miss the presence of God in that, then the ritual means nothing. If we just keep a set of rules, but we miss the presence of God in that, it means nothing. For example, the law says, the law in my home country of the U.S. and the law here in the Czech Republic says, I am not allowed to punch you in the face. It says that. Never am I allowed to punch you in the face. It's just not allowed. That's a law. And so, if I wish to punch you in the face, I want to, my desire is to, but because the law says I can't, I choose not to. Are we friends at that point? Are we in a good place in our relationship at that point? No, of course not. If I love you, if I care for you, if I care for your well-being, I care for you and I love you, even if I'm upset with you, then I don't need a law to tell me to not punch you in the face. I would never think about doing that. That would never be an option, whether it's a law or not. This is what Paul's getting to. He's not focused on the commandments that were given to Moses. He's focused on the radiating light that came from Moses when he was in the presence of God. I'm going to say that again. Paul was not concerned about the commandments that were given to Moses. He was concerned about the radiating light that came from Moses when he was in the presence of God. And he says, that's what we need to be. That's what we're striving for. That's what we are slowly, gradually becoming as the people of God. It's not a people that adheres to a set of rules. Not a people that just keeps laws. Not a people that have some sort of code of conduct or rituals or practices. But people that experience the presence of God in their very life and radiate that. Show that. And don't hide it with a veil as Moses did. He said, we're past that. We have Jesus showing us the very light of God. Showing us the very presence of God. And he calls us to gradually move in that direction. To gradually be moving in a way that shines the light of Jesus from our very life. Because we are created in the image of God. And we are redeemed by Jesus Christ to be in that presence and to show that presence. That's why we light a candle. Because we want each person that comes in here to be reminded, this is not just an ordinary time. We are so distracted by the things of this world. We have so many things to do. We're running to catch the tram. We're in busy stores and businesses. We have jobs. We have school. We have all these things. And we need some time that we just are in the presence of God to allow him to transform us. Allow him and his presence to be so ingrained in us that it begins to move us in a way that shines that light to the world. There are people that won't care what you say, that won't care about the arguments you make about God or being a Christian or being a person of faith. They care about what they see in your life. And we need them to see God. We need them to see God in our church. We need to be the very presence of God in whose image we're created. And so we light a candle to remind us that the Holy Spirit is actually here, that we experience God's presence in this place. It's a real tragedy, I think, that some people come to church all around the world. We have people that gather in churches that go through a set of rituals that leave and are no different than they were when they arrived, that have experienced nothing except just the routine. The disciples saw Jesus transformed in his glory. They heard the very voice of God. And Paul teaches that that's the road we're on. That we are on the journey to really see the glory of God, to hear the voice of the Father, to be in the midst of that light. And so the question comes to us as a church, is that what we're striving for? Are we open to that? Are we looking for that? Or are we looking to go through a set of rituals or go through life with a certain code of conduct? That'll get you a certain place in life. But that's not what we're looking for as people of faith. We are looking to be in the very presence of God. And every week when we come in here, that's my prayer, is that we can really experience the presence of God. That we can really understand that God's presence is in us and through us. And not just today, but every day of our life. And so that's why we have our rituals, not just to do them, but to remind us of who we are in Jesus Christ and to be revealed in his glory. And so that's one of the reasons we practice communion. We have bread. We have a cup of juice. And on a physical level, they're just bread and a cup. But it's much more than that on a spiritual level. Because Jesus gathered with his disciples and he said, "This is my body and this is my blood, that you do this in remembrance of me." And we take that very seriously. We don't think when Jesus said, "This is my body," he meant literally, physically, this became his body, or this cup became his blood. We don't believe that physically there was a change, but spiritually it means something very profound. That as we take a pinch of bread and we dip it into a cup of juice and we eat that bread, we take that into ourselves. We are bringing into ourselves the very presence of Jesus. Again, you don't have to understand that for it to be true. You don't have to know how God does these things to trust that God does it. And if we, as God's people, as a people of faith, can take in a measure of God's very presence into our very self, through a ritual of communion that Jesus gave us, wouldn't that change us a little bit? Wouldn't that affect us this week to know the very presence of Jesus himself is within us? Because he told us, "This is my body, this is my blood." On a spiritual level, we are taking him into our very selves. Wouldn't that be a changing event for us, at least a little bit? And that's what Paul says, that gradually we are moving into his glory. Now, the disciples, they experienced the glory of Jesus instantly. They saw it at that moment of transfiguration. The people of Israel, when they saw Moses and his face was shining behind that veil, that was a moment in time that they instantly saw that glory. And we might have that on occasion. There might be moments in your life that you experience a miraculous, powerful experience of God that comes upon you as if you were standing in the very glorious presence of Jesus transformed, transfigured, as the disciples did. That's a powerful thing. That could happen. I'm not going to discount that. But for most Christians, it doesn't happen that way. It can. But even for the 12, it only happened for 3 of them. Okay, it didn't happen for all of them. Of the 12 disciples, only Peter, James, and John experienced that particular moment. But Paul tells us that all of us, all Christians, all people of faith, are to be gradually moving into that glorious moment of seeing who God is in our life and who we are created to be. And that doesn't happen instantaneously for most of us. I can say, Peter got to see it. James and John got to see it. The others didn't. Maybe there's a moment where we'll see that glorious image of God and hear the very voice of God. But for most Christians, it's a much more gradual process. It's a process throughout our life of experiencing the presence of the Holy Spirit each week in worship, of each day having some time of prayer, of receiving the Holy Communion that would be a measure of God's Spirit within our life, that little bit along the way, that glory is slowly revealed in our life. One of the things about miracles is sometimes they happen instantaneously. We love it when that happens. We celebrate miracles that happen instantly. But if you can look back a year from now and say, you know, it is miraculous what God has done in my life, that's a miracle too. If you can look back a year from now and say, I understand so much more about God's presence in my life, that's a miracle too. It doesn't have to be instantaneous. Only three of the disciples got to see the transfigured image of Jesus and got to see the presence of Moses and Elijah. The others didn't. But they knew Jesus and his glory as well. It took some more time. It wasn't quite as dramatic as it was for those three, but they saw Jesus' glory as well. We may not have an instant miraculous moment, but do we have a miraculous life in Jesus Christ? Do we have a miraculous journey with Jesus? Every week when we come in here, it's a step in that journey. Every day, as you turn your heart away from this busy, hectic world towards God, it is a step in that journey of glory. We may never climb a mountain and see the transfigured image of Jesus as Peter and James and John did. We're probably going to be like the other disciples, that it took a little bit more time. Paul says we're moving gradually into that glory. And praise God that we have a chance to do that. It doesn't have to be an instant miracle. It can be a daily journey. And as we come into this place, as God's people in God's church, we are part of that journey together. That's why we light a candle. That's why we sing songs of praise. That's why we read scripture together and talk about these things together. That's why we have this bread and this cup today. That we take a measure of God's Spirit into our life because we are slowly, gradually being transformed. And I want to ask you one last thing. Did Peter and James and John give their resume in order to have that moment with Jesus? Did the other disciples that followed Jesus, did he go through their resume and see if they had their act together? To see if they were doing everything right? To say, okay, you can come follow me now that you've got your act together. Now that you've given up your sin. Now that you're doing things right. Now that you've got it together, now you can come follow me. No. This journey, this miraculous journey of being transformed, it starts coming, as we just sang, just as you are. God loves you, accepts you, likes you exactly as you are. Now, he loves you too much to leave you like you are. He's got better things. He's got a whole world of things to teach us. He doesn't want to leave us like we are. He loves us too much for that. But he accepts us and loves us exactly as we are. He doesn't say, get your act together and then you can have a measure of my Spirit. He says, I'll give you a measure of my Spirit to help you get your act together, to help you on that journey. And so we all come as we are. With all our faults and all our frailties and all our fears and all our struggles, we come as we are to receive a measure of God's grace. His body and blood on a spiritual level taken into our life in his presence. Because slowly, gradually, every one of us and his church are being transformed to shine his glory. May we be grateful and open to the journey that he has us on. To not resist it, trying to make up our own rules, do things our own way, show how good we are. But let us come as we are to receive a measure of God's Spirit. Would you pray with me? Lord, we're reminded that you told us, this is my body and this is my blood. You told us to do this in remembrance of you. And so we come now just as we are. We have so many faults. We have so many fears. We have so many things we do wrong. We're so distracted in life. But Lord, you tell us through your servant Paul that we are being gradually transformed into your very glory. And so let this be a step in that direction in these moments as we ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit upon these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in that final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Lord, as we come into this place, to this table, all honor and all glory is yours. Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.